when we, there are quite a lot of Old Testament passages, we run to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Somebody read that for me. And Hebrews chapter 11, I think what, verse 4, 5, or 6, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, in Hebrews chapter 11. But let us first hear Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3, because that is a passage that addresses the holiness of God directly. Let us hear it.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put censer, and put censers thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Okay, God killed them. We're going to listen, comment. Now, read on.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
I will be sanctified
in them that come nigh me.
In anyone who comes close to me. Of course, in worship we come close to God. But watch here. As most, if not all of you know, the word sanctify mean I will be set apart in etc., etc. That's the word holy. You see, in other words, anyone who comes to me, you will have to treat me as being holy. I will be set apart. The word set apart is the word, because that's what the word sanctify means, you know, to be set apart. And that passage is telling us that God must be treated as God at all times. And especially as we set out to give God worship, you will give God the worship that God asks for, and you will give it to God the way God asks that it be done.
Amen.
I will be set apart. I will be treated as a holy God in them that come near to me. Yeah. Now, from I'm almost about Brother Bean wanting to promise that I may go in more detail in some very important passages. I'm thinking of the passage in one of the five books of Moses where God's holiness is emphasized. I'm thinking of passage where the angel speaks about God being holy, 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 and all of that. But this moral quality of God, God's holiness, is what controls or regulate God's power, God's love, God's mercy, God's judgment, God being an holy God is what determine, watch here, how God uses his power. That God is an almighty God doesn't mean that might or that power of God can just be usurped. Because God's great power and might is under the control of his holiness. That God is love, he's a loving God, doesn't mean that because God is a loving God, he will overlook our trespasses, our sin. No, because he's a holy God, his holiness regulates his love. In fact, a very important place where this is seen is in man's salvation. Man's sin and God's love says, I need to find a way to help man, to save man, to redeem man. That's God's love and mercy reaching out to man. But God's holiness said, dictate that if I am going to find a way through my love and mercy to help man, that way must be in keeping with my holiness, which means it must be a sinless, sacrificial being. It must be. So that God was willing to sacrifice his son tells us that is what the holiness of God requires. If there was any other way for God to redeem man other than sending Jesus Christ to Calvary, other than permitting Jesus Christ to come into this sin-sick world and to suffer the abuse of sinner and godly men, if there was another way, God would have opted for that. There was no other way. Why? It was the holiness of God that did not compromise what man's redemption calls for, a sinless, holy victim. Well, couldn't God's love and mercy cause God to take something less? The holiness of God says no. Everyone getting it? And am I helping, Brother Bean? Yes. But I'm going to go in more detail in this subject probably I'll put a lesson together. But again, we come back to God's power, God's love, God's mercy. God's grace. All of those moral qualities are under the regulation of God's holiness. In other words, it is because of what God is essentially, and holy God, a God that is separate and apart from all of his creation. And in God's holiness, all his other attributes have to yield to his holiness. It's not the other way. It's not that God's holiness yield to his love, to his mercy. No, it is that all of these have to yield to the holiness of God. And as I've said, if there is one place that is demonstrated, is in man's redemption. It was no easy thing. When Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou? Nobody know that passage? Forsaken me. Christ at least felt forsaken. May I? The Bible talks about God's long suffering with our sin. Well, why God in all his power don't find an easy way to deal with it? There was no easy way. Because God's holiness cannot be compromised, because he's holy. Everything God does have to be in keeping with his holiness. His love is great, but his love have to yield to his holiness. Again, good question, Brother Bean, and there will be a lesson on the subject within the next few weeks to add more to what I have just said, because it is love by which God reaches out to us. But watch here now. It is the holiness of God that requires the sinless victim. That's right. That God was willing to give so much to redeem sinful men. Why did God have to give so much? That's what the holiness of God requires. And as much as God loves us, God's love could not make his holiness compromise with the price of sin. His only begotten Son. As holiness, the holy nature of God requires the best that God had to offer to pay for our sin. Yeah. Any more? Yes, Brother Gilbert. Those of us who are parents, we are not as consistent as we are to be as parents. Every mother, father, who have some degree of objectivity, balance, reasonableness, will know that there are areas where we should have disciplined our son or our daughter and we sort of overlook. The point that Brother Gilbert brought up there with Nadab and Abihu, keeping in mind that Nadab and Abihu were priests. From they were little boy, they were trained as priests. They were Levites. And it's not like they live in mistake. What they did here is something that could have easily happened to me or you in a sincere way. Watch here. When the Almighty God, in instituting the Levitical system, asks that the fire be taken from a specific place, that look trivial to you and me. Like men reason today, so they reason then. All fires are the same fire. What if I take it from here? God said, take it from here. What if I? No, it's the same fire. That's the way we reason. And that's the way Nadab and Abihu reason. And most likely, that's the way I would reason. Not seeing on difference. So they just went along and took it from where No. The Almighty God had his own reason for specifying why the fire should be taken from a particular place. Like God has his own reason today that he requires that baptism be a condition of salvation. Men and women who have just a little faith in God will not question that. In this case with Nadab and Abihu, they took the fire from somewhere else. And what here the tragedy? God used fire to kill them. Now, as Brother Gilbert, for man, they are my favorite priests. They don't make that mistake often. You know, I'm going to overlook that. God killed them instantly. May I? I used the word overlooked a while ago because I want to comment on that too. Even in passages that use that term, at the time of ignorance, God, wink at, which means God overlook. That overlooking had to do with God giving man a chance to learn and to do better. Are we all there? That God is a patient God doesn't mean his holiness will be compromised. For example, the Almighty God exercised much patience towards people like David. May I? Yet, when David numbered Israel, the holiness of God stepped in. Brothers and sisters, just numbering the people. More people were killed in that incident than even in the situation of idolatry and sexual sin in numbers. Somebody would say, "Me can't understand God. He's not hard to be understood." That's right. It's the holiness of God that stepped in there. Same way with Nadab and Abihu. They went, not only that, There are sins where the Almighty God want to make that mistake an example. Very important that we learn this. For example, with Nadab and Abihu, Moses and the Israelite would never forget that incident where Nadab and Abihu were burned up and how that happened. Watch here now. They would never forget that you do what God says the way God says. When God killed Uzziah, David and the rest of Israel would never forget that. The Ark of the Covenant rock. And the man, there too I would probably put his hand to steady. That is a sincere action of an Israelite. The Almighty God kill him. That's the holiness of God is at work. When the Almighty God kill Ananias and Sapphira, a professor, I believe it was my philosophy professor, Dr. Johnson, he said in class, one class session, this talking about or using Ananias and Sapphira as example. He said, we talk about God and this and that. He said, what must be kept in mind is, no, he said, we talk about communists and how dreadful it is if you work so much, communist party in some place will take half and what and what. He said, one man rightly said that Christianity is worse than communism. Because he said, Ananias and Sapphira, they were killed over their own money. It's not that they stole somebody's money. Of course, Dr. Johnson was simplifying it. But what God did there, watch here now to get the lesson, is that what was at play there was in sincerity. That is the bottom line with Ananias and Sapphira. In fact, Peter's comment is important. While before you sell the land, wasn't it yours? Yes. After you sold the land, wasn't the proceed or whatever yours? Yes. Why had Satan put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You see, it's the insincerity, you know. You don't have to come and say you give all when you only give a part. All of that is hitting at the insincerity. And God used them to teach the people then, and Christian now, don't be insincere when you are dealing with God. Come straight. Those of us who miss that lesson in our time, we miss a lesson that may not only save our lives now, but save us from hell. When you're dealing with God, come above board. Don't be insincere. Don't just try to please men. Try to please God. So God made an example of Ananias and Sapphira. The church then, in the first century, wouldn't forget that. And we shouldn't forget it either. So over and over, the Almighty God will demonstrate his holiness and how important it is that we set God apart in whatever we do. We always remember that he's a holy God and we must strive to relate to him as a holy God. And as Brother Gilbert brought up, had God overlooked Nadab and Abihu, the Israelites at different intervals would just do what they want. May I just show another case? Poor Moses. Truly. Truly. That man worked all his life after, from he was about age 40 or whatever. Work for God, work for Israel, and those people push him to the limit. Where Moses probably take lightly that God, you see, up here at point one, God says, strike the rock, which means hit the rock. At another point, the Almighty God says, speak to the rock. May I? A lot of time, these were just testing God, testing them, you know. Are we all there? It's no impulse on God's part to say, strike the rock here. And it's not a matter that God feel that him should say, speak to the rock. No. That was well thought out by God. And probably to test Moses' faith, reverence, and all of that. So don't hear God say, speak to the rock. Well, Moses was at a point where he was upset, not with God, but with the Israelites. Bang, drink, you rebels. The man was upset. And probably you and I would be upset with the Israelite too. The holiness of God, step in. You shall not enter the promised land. And to add insult to injury, God sent him up on the mountain and said, look where you miss. The holiness of God was on display. Well, why God's love and compassion didn't override that? No. God's love and compassion does not override God's holiness. Any overriding to be done, it must be God's holiness. That makes God forever God is holiness. It is God's holiness which dictates that if God were to do something contrary to his nature, he wouldn't be God again. So it is not possible for God to do something contrary to his nature. The holiness of God is the regulating principle in the attributes which make God God. We encourage you to, whenever that lesson announced, to make use of, because a lot of men and women out there do not understand what the holiness of God implies. When the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie, because if God lied, he would cease to be God. His nature, his holy nature forbid him